Good evening and welcome back to all of you. Thank you, Brother Alvin, for sharing with us tonight. I appreciate that very much. One of my notes that we have not yet covered is the fact that it is biblical that returned missionaries are held accountable and share with you. You sent them, right? Yeah, do that. Actually, I don't think you have to make them share. They want to share. So that's part of the work of a church is to send people out and then have them, when they come back, to share. And I don't know when is the right time. I suppose now is the best time. Because I just have a real hard time coming through my notes. So let's just finish my notes, and then tomorrow night, the Lord willing, we'll do the AMA presentation and more pictures, and I'll end up tonight with pictures. But for the church at home, for the people that you have sent to the field, and by the way, there's many more things that could be discussed about outreach. How do you do outreach? How often should you do outreach? Who should go? Who shouldn't? And all those interesting things. We as a congregation have been involved in two outreaches in the last 10 or 12 years. And I could share a few things with you, but every congregation needs to make their own choice how they do it. And what we did and how you would do it, you need to make that decision yourself. But anyway, for your missionaries that are on the field, for the church at home, I'm going to go through here rapidly here. Bless them with encouragement by sending them notes, messages, and emails. Someone from the church should send a weekly, monthly update on church news. As I recall, Brother Jonas shared that with you when Brother Allen's were sent at the commissioning. Do you remember that? He recommended that. Also bless them by sharing monetarily with your offerings in cash. And do show an interest in visiting them. When visiting, how many of you have visited Allen's already? Okay, several have. Looks like there's a good opportunity for a few more to go. So this is my recommendation. This is what we experienced when we were on the field. And this is the blessing. When visiting, enter into their lives and lend a hand. Do their chores. We had visitors that came and said, boys, you stay in bed. We're going to do the chores for you while we're here. I'm like, wow, that was amazing. Help butcher chickens and let on it's the most exciting thing you've ever done. Do some maintenance that doesn't get done on vehicles and buildings. Enter into their lives. Order in grilled chicken so that the cook doesn't have to do so much cooking. Did you hear Alan say how that the wives are just cooking and cooking and cooking? So when you're there visiting, you add a little bit to the workload. Of course you do, but it's okay. Help them. Take them out to eat. Give the cook a break. And be a willing participant by sharing devotionals and preaching for them. That is a huge part of their life. Be yourself a willing servant to bless them that way. Allow yourself the enjoyment of being stretched. Walk several miles in the hot sun to have a Wednesday afternoon Bible study. Enjoy a cup of hot chai and a piece of dry white bread for a snack with the Kenyan believers. Sounds very appetizing. Not really. But it is absolutely enjoyable. I never dreamt that I would like chai. I don't like lukewarm milk tea coffee mix. I made the decision I'm going to go and enjoy it. And I did. I did. You will leave for home feeling fulfilled and blessed because you were a giver. So God bless you in that. That's when you go visiting. And then when you are relating to returned missionaries, give them space to acclimate. They're wore out physically, emotionally, and spiritually from a life of mostly giving. Preparing to leave the field is hard on people who sank all their energies into it. They leave friends, close friends. They leave newly converted people needing someone to help disciple them. They gave their heart, and now they're leaving most of their heart there. And then we ask them, weren't you about good and ready to come back? Don't ask them if they're about adjusted to life here at home again. They may just not want to readjust to life as normal. They may not want to because they have changed. Did you hear something come through like that tonight? Just a little bit. They struggle with buying dog food for their pets because they know of many hungry lives that would enjoy maybe even a dog food, bowl of dog food. They struggle with going out to eat every Friday night. They struggle with spending money on frivolous entertainment or shopping. See, their values have changed. Allow them to bring that value into the brotherhood. We actually had a brother come to our church there in Indiana that shared that with us, with the home congregation before we got home. And the brothers were extremely nice with us in that way. Rather, bless them with a well-stocked refrigerator and freezer. Plant a garden for them so they can enjoy fresh veggies if it's that season. Put a good vehicle in their driveway with their name on the title. Make sure that their name is on the church mailbox when they get back. And put an envelope of cash in that mailbox. Invite them for a meal and ask them to tell you stories. Give them the pulpit to share publicly of the work they were involved in. Take an interest in the stories and ask them for details, and then ask them for more stories. Take an interest in their lives. They were consumed with that life. They need to be allowed to talk, and they need to know that you want to hear. Those are some things that we experience in our return. Those are some very things that happen to us. And I tell you, we have changed. I grew up in Paraguay. I was 12 years old. We moved there. Susan spent her growing up youth in El Salvador and Paraguay. We married in a rather large Amish Mennonite community. And our vision as a family had always been that we want to be part of a small church community in a non-Amish Mennonite community. And so that's why we moved to Brown County. We had that opportunity. When AMA called us in the late 96, early 97, to go to serve in Paraguay as clinic administrator, it wasn't too a difficult decision because we both had been in Paraguay. She had served there. I grew up there, so it was a very a good fit, we felt. We spent 3 years there. We operated there in the clinic Lucy Esperanza, which is the Light and Hope Clinic. At that earlier, prior to our coming, it already was slowing down when we got there. But they had as many as 40 births a month there. Doctor day like they have in La Belleza. I remember growing up in those days, if my mom would go see the doctor on doctor day, she wanted to be early because there could be as many as 50 patients. And it was a big day. It has all changed, of course. All right, tonight I want to just quickly show you some pictures. We'll run pictures till it's quitting time. Tomorrow night is another night, the Lord willing, and we'll continue. And then tomorrow night I want to wrap up with an AMA presentation. So the first pictures that we have here coming up soon is pictures of my earliest growing up years when we had we didn't use cameras in those early years. So if someone can put the lights out, that would be good. So the pictures might be a bit small, so if you want to see well, you may have to sit up. This is our family picture from early spring. And that's us with our grandbabies, our daughter Elaine on the other picture there. So here is some pictures from the earlier days of Paraguay. If you notice here in, I think I can find this in there. Paraguay is nestled right in here. And here is a picture. I had to take pictures of pictures to get this, and it's not very big. I'm not sure how to make it bigger. Here's a sign at the border crossing between Argentina that said that this is a country of, we are pro-democracy and against communism. When we arrived in Paraguay, we had jungle. Here's a big tree. Here's the top of that tree. I call it a half-acre tree, and I was cutting it over here. This is probably the largest tree I ever cut down, and it was a bit scary. Notice how that a one log makes a load, or many logs make a load. We would cut the forest over in the jungle, let it lie in the sun for 6 weeks or so, and then we would light it. And so here we are monitoring the fire back there. You never had to worry that the fire would burn into the forest because it was too green anyway. We cleared land with bulldozers. We used sawmills to cut up lumber. We used local helpers as well. Here is the charcoal that we made. Alvin alluded to it. I grew up in my early years. We would cut wood into 1 meter pieces and load it inside this little door right here, which is this door right here, laid up with brick again. And then we would start a fire in the top. Okay, this thing was stacked full tightly with wood. And then we would light a fire in the top and cap it, and the fire would work its way down. And you would close the holes here and here and here. As the smoke came down, you would close those holes. It would burn for about 4 days, and you would get 3 tons of finished product. That is what put groceries on our table, as well as how we cleared our land. When we saw woods like this, or when we saw trees like Alvin was talking about tonight, we saw it a block to progress. Get the tree out of the way so we can plant soybeans, corn, and cotton. Much hand labor involved in clearing the fields. It was a whole family project. Dairy came into the area in 1977, or thereabouts, in our first years actually. Became a huge source of income. And here is milk being processed in the Chaco by the Russian Mennonites as well as they did in our area as well. It was in a type of process that could be good for 6 months on the shelf, unrefrigerated. Here is cheese that I was making from a herd that I was milking. That was about a week's supply. I would load that up on my motorcycle, Alvin, and take it out to the stores in Camp 9. When I was 21, I built a small building out of wood and built batteries. I sold batteries to the local community there. Those are very heavy-duty, durable batteries, but the battery life in Paraguay is not what you expect because of the rough roads and the rough use they get. We dug our own wells for water, hand-dug wells. We would go down with a rope and a bucket and a man on top that would pull up the bucket and we would dig down in. There were places that the soil was not safe. We would put in cement sleeves and drop those down in to give us some protection for caving. Caving in was a problem. So we would go down as far as 30 or 40 feet deep for good, clean water. Modes of transportation. And of course, the bridge did wash down or wash out. This here set of support beams sunk and they could hardly cross anymore, although they did cross that bridge just like that. That there's trucks on the other side trying to figure out what's the best way to cross those beams. They would do some crazy things. We went visiting. This is the first family that joined the church there in Florida, where I was. It was part of the fellowship group. It was a church that was established in, like I said, 76. Evangelization by colonization was the form. A little bit like we would do up here, as in church outreach and plant church planting.
This was the first local family that joined the church, Fabio and Evelina Garcetti. And then later, Isavelino Ramos and his family came. And then later, when he had moved into our colony there, he had a vision and a burden for his father-in-law. So I and my cousin Lamar, who's living up in Shekinah now, went with Isavelino back into the woods and visited his father-in-law, who later became a Christian and moved out into our community. Lamar and Walter, my cousins, both married into this family's daughters here. So this is at one of their wedding receptions. This is our family. I'm going to say that would have been taken probably in the around 80, 1980. We were the second family in Paraguay. We moved in July of 76. Scotty Jones family. Anyone recognize this fine young lady here? I think Jay could tell you who that is. And this is the Oscar Slaboff family, and Lamar and Walter and all those are my cousins that I had pictures earlier. We had the unique privilege of being double first cousins. Our dads were brothers and our moms were sisters. And Judy's mom, Keturah, is my mom's sister as well. So these are three sisters. This is a church house. Ira and Hannah Huber from Canada came down to help pastor the church. And so they were out helping clear the land. I don't know how many of you would be familiar with the Corey and Elizabeth Byler family. They were from the McVeightown area. They had moved to Paraguay a week before we did. And this one here is Jay Peachy, a brother to William here in your brotherhood here. So they were like the fourth family that joined our community. This is the little skid house, we call it skid house, that we lived in. That's what Dad built. We lived in there for about a year, year and a half, 2 years probably, till we had our other house built. It was fairly tight quarters. We all slept in the upper floor. We lived outdoors. This is now in the mid-80s, I would say. This here is Susan. And this is Dale Hostetler and this is Ann from Myersdale. Waiting on the bus. We would use public transportation for a lot of the time. And it was not unusual to be out by the road waiting. Over here is Paul Eichhorn and his family, Paul and Amanda Eichhorn. They were the pioneers of the church in Luzia Esperanza. They moved in there in 67, I believe, or 66. This is the Mark Eichhorn family, and for those of you that remember Calvin that was living in your community here, this is Calvin right here. And I believe Calvin's, where am I? Lois is not on here anymore. So Lois was already married when that picture was taken. But Tim Fisher, that is working for Ernie over here, is a grandson of the Eichhorns. Samuel and Vicente and Mario and Linda, newly ordained pastors in the church. These are the clinic administrators. Now that we were there in, no, this is in 89. Yeah, this is in 89. Ivan Beachy and John Ulaps. Here is the clinic staff where Susan was on board in 84 with Simon and Elsie Schrock from the Myersdale area. This is now our staff that we had when we were there in 98. We had four girls at that point. This is back in Susan's area when she was serving in the clinic. This was a set of twins. Here's an incubator that the midwives put together with some plexiglass and screws and a tea kettle for steam. This is how I met Susan. She was at the pharmacy taking care of records, and if I needed vitamins for my mom, it worked well. I to this day take her vitamins. Every day a handful. In 97, We were on our way to Paraguay. We are four daughters. They were all excited. They all had their own special luggage. Winnie the Pooh, it had to be. And here we are posing that first night, and this is our house that was our house. This was in 97. Transportation to school, and sometimes the roads did become impossible. Single staff, if you are a single staff on a mission unit somewhere, you are truly a blessing when you mingle with the families and help take care of their children and read them stories. We have such good memories. Here, Elvin, and for those of you that have been in Paraguay, this is the road at the bottom of the hill by Lac d'Olanda and Camp 9. As you can see, it broke through. The road is totally gone. It had a washout, and it was a horrible nightmare. We had summer Bible school, just like you do here. The people stood on the outside, lining up to go. On the inside, we took all the pews out of the church house. There was standing room only. And usually it was hot and warm. And when it was time for a break and for water, we were mobbed. Susan here is making Paraguayan foods with the neighbor ladies helping. And over here, we have a picture of the water girls. Martha Sumi, who is the nurse in La Belleza now, was part of the SMBI water program where they send two students out to missions to visit. And Victoria King is from the Buffalo Valley area. I believe she's from Shady Grove, I believe. We did have a bad accident while we were there in Paraguay. And as you can see, the car is a heavy Mercedes car. I don't have a picture of our van with us, but our vehicle rolled several times. Our baby daughter Lucinda flew out. Susan's dress is still bloody from the ordeal, picking her up, and we went to the hospital. She had surgery. We ended up in Brazil for 10 days. So that's all we have for tonight. Just a little bit of history of what makes me tick. Thank you. We'll have time for questions maybe later. It is time to move on. So God bless you. Continue praying. Let's help each other find our calling. And not everyone is called to go to the mission field. Some are called to stay home and support those that are gone. And that is a ministry. And I want to bless you as a brotherhood for being a sending church. We have two families on the field, and two singles will be from this congregation on AMA missions. And you, I don't know where all else you are involved, but we from AMA sincerely appreciate that. And I want you to know that we thank you for that. And God bless you.